In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me tell you right off the bat, where I'm heading in this sermon, I want to rejoice in a happy saying by Martin Luther about Christmas. And it goes like this. Mary bore the child, took it to her breast, and nursed it. And the Father in heaven has his son lying in a manger and in a mother's lap. This is our theology, Luther says. This is what we believe. This is what we preach. The only begotten Son of God, God from all eternity, nurses and rests contentedly like other babies in the arms of his mother. So that's where I'm heading, but I would like to enjoy myself by setting the stage a bit for this fun saying of Martin Luther. It's Christmas morning, and whenever it becomes Christmas morning, I find myself thinking of dear old Pastor Charles Trexler, now of blessed memory. If you did not know him, then I tell you, when, by God's grace, by the grace and merits of our Lord Jesus Christ, we make it to heaven, you have in store for yourself a treat to meet that dear man, Pastor Charles Trexler. He loved Christmas morning. He loved the gospel reading for Christmas morning. Well, I'm sure he loved last night's reading, that very charming reading from St. Luke chapter 2. Who could not love that story? The story of Jesus being born in a manger, and the shepherds out there in the field, abiding by night, watching over their flocks. Who could not love that story? We all do. I'm sure Pastor Trexler did too. But come Christmas morning, he was always content to leave the manger for a while and to just kind of immerse himself in this reading from St. John chapter 1. Here in our rear doss, Moses, Jesus, St. John, the evangelist. He has an eagle there at his foot. That eagle distinguishes him from the other evangelists, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark, for example, I mean, each evangelist has his own symbol. Mark's symbol is that of a lion. Why? Because Mark's gospel begins with John the Baptist, who seems to be preaching like a roaring lion. Well, the symbol for John the Evangelist, the one who wrote today's gospel, is the eagle, because the eagle flies high, has a very elevated perspective on things. And the ancient folk also had this notion about an eagle, that the eagle could look directly into the sun, could just gaze directly into the sun. And somehow, that seems to be how St. John is. He has an immense perspective, and he can look right into God and tell us things. John goes all the way back to the beginning. That's the opening phrase of our gospel lesson. In the beginning. Now, the patristic fathers used to love to make a distinction. Those opening words, they would divide them into two. The first half would go like this, in the beginning. And then they would just kind of linger with that. And in their imagination, they would travel in thought back to the beginning. And then there's that second part, the word was, that little verb was. So let me give you some examples from the church fathers who just delighted in this phrase, in the beginning was the Word. The 4th century bishop Hilary of Poitiers, for example, loves to think about the beginning. He says this, St. John ranges backward over the spaces of time. Centuries are left behind, and ages are canceled. Fix in your mind what date you will for this beginning. You miss the mark, for even then he of whom we are speaking was. Survey the universe, note well what is written of it. In the beginning God made the heavens and the earth. This word, beginning, fixes the moment of creation. You can assign its date to an event that is definitely stated to have happened in the beginning, but this fisherman friend of mine, he means St. John the Evangelist, unlettered and unread, is untrammeled by time, undaunted by its immensity. He pierces beyond the beginning. For him, was has no limit of time and no commencement. The uncreated Word was in the beginning. And so we modern folk could carry on in a similar pattern. Let us range back. Let the centuries just collapse, the ages fade away, let them pass. Let the stars and the constellations come into being and fade away. Let the empires rise and fall, let species come into existence and fade away. There are the cavemen, there are the dinosaurs, just go back and back and back to the Big Bang, even before the Big Bang. And what do we find? The Son of God was. He was already there. Again, St. John Chrysostom loves to imagine that Word in the beginning. He admits that the human mind, the human intellect, is almost overmatched. We become dizzy trying to think about the beginning. Chrysostom says this, as when our ship is near shore, cities and ports pass in view before us, that on the open sea vanish, leave nothing to fix the eye on, so the evangelist here takes us with him in flight above the created world, leaving the eye to gaze upon emptiness and an unlimited expanse. Indeed, this expression, was in the beginning, is expressive of eternal and infinite being. So imagine that we could go on one of those marvelous time machines like they have in the science fiction novels, go back all the way to the beginning. There is the Word. Now, let's move ahead to Bethlehem. We move ahead to Bethlehem, and there, this Word is. He's now a baby. He rests in the arms of his mother. He nurses at her breast. He is content, like many a baby. Let me use some words from Spurgeon, that English Baptist preacher. Oh, what is that I see? Oh, world of wonders, what is that I see? The Eternal of Ages, whose hair is white like wool, is white as snow, becomes an infant. Can it be? Ye angels, are ye not astonished? Oh, wonder of wonders, manger of Bethlehem, thou hast miracles poured into thee. This is a sight that surpasses all others. Talk ye of the sun, moon, and stars. Consider ye the heavens, the work of God's fingers, the moon and the stars that he hath ordained. But all the wonders of the universe shrink into nothing when we come to the mystery of the incarnation, the holy incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mary bore the child. This happens. A mother bears a child, brings the child to her breast and nurses. And the Father in heaven has his son in the mother's lap. Why? Why did this great wonder happen? Well, I can tell you why. Borrowing words from the Nicene Creed, they are familiar to you, but think about them again. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. Why? For us, and for our salvation, and for the salvation of our families, and for the salvation of all those in need, he came to be a Savior. In our reading, St. John goes ahead and says things like this. He was life, and the life was the light of the world. But I think it's fully within the theology of St. John the Evangelist to also say this. He was love. In him was love. He came to earth not to amaze us, not to dismay us, but to save us. He was a child, and he knows what it's like to be a child, and his heart goes out to children, including those children who were lost up in Connecticut. What the children's song says is absolutely true about the only begotten Son of God. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red or yellow, black or white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. The only begotten Son of God became a child and loves the children of the world. He loves the big children too, including you and me. He loves all the children of the world. This baby Jesus, who got off with such a good start in life, the kind of start we want for any child, to be there in the arms of its mother. This child, who got off to such a good start in life, grew up to be a man of love, of relentless love, of love without limitation. Love that includes you, love that includes me. To him be the glory, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.